Parshas Vayikra. Try to see what we can pull out this week for Vayikra itself. Generally, it's either Ben Zmanim, right before Pesach, this week right before Purim, this year right before Purim. So try to see what exactly we do, how much we'll dabble in Vayikra, how much in Zachar, how much in Purim. But I also would like, coming out of this, if perhaps people could have more of a feeling of less elusiveness of the karbonis. I know that before I went to Eretz Yisrael to learn my years in Kachim, it does seem like a very elusive type of thing. All the karbonis, it seems like, like we were just saying, the parshas that you usually don't get much out of and very hard to understand. So maybe we'll try a little bit also in that way to give a feeling of familiarity that it shouldn't seem so away from us. So first, maybe we'll start off with the Ramban's Hakdamah to Sefer Vayikra of what's going on. He says this is the Sefer Teres Kayanim, Balavim. It'll explain all about the Karbonis and the Mishmeres HaMishkan in it, because what we finished in the last one was the Sefer Golos and the Gula Mimenu, and now it's going to finish up with the Inyan of the Oil Mayed and explain the rest of the things and many of the mitzvahs that will be going based on that. The Toman Tyra will be going based on that, and that's all Nechlal in what's going to be going on in this Sefer. So Taka seems like a sefer that most people find it very hard to relate to, especially no one really resurfaces until the parshas of Achrimis Kedoshim. Generally, otherwise everything seems very away from us. Okay, so to start off, before we really get to the Karbonis, is the Vayikra al Moshe. So something that I don't really know if we spoke about at all was the fact that Vayikra has a small aleph. We know Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted to write Vayikar like Bilam. He wanted to be an anav. And Hashem still made him write the aleph, so he wrote it small. We mentioned about Moshe's karnei hoid that he got in Kisisa, the shine that he had. We didn't really go into it, but there were many pshatim over there, what exactly this came from. And one of the many ways of pshatim was that it came through extra diyoy that he had from writing the Luchas. There are many possibilities of why he had left over, but this is one of them, that Hashem wanted him to write a full Vayikra. And he, Metayich Anvasununsoi, wrote a small Aleph. This is one of the things of why he had extra Diyoy.
What was the opinion about Breishi began with the base? There's something about sticking an olive somewhere.
You're saying to make up for that, at least to make up for that. Okay, that could be. But this is going that Moshe wrote it small because of his anivos. So we kept mentioning the Gemara, that the famous Gemara Darm, that a Tam Chacham needs to have four things. It needs to be a Ashir, a Gibor, a Chacham, and we went into it a little bit, everyone asking on it, why is it exactly necessary, what's with the money, whatever. But partially what we've said is that it's more to give for himself and two for the people. For himself, so he shouldn't necessarily be jealous of anybody else. But two, really more for the people, is to give a certain impression. An impression of the Baal HaTorah, the Baal HaSanhedrin, the Baal whoever this is, the Roish of Klal Yisrael that we're dealing with, that it gives off a certain, like, this guy is the fullest of the full of whatever could be, and he's sitting at the, and he's standing up. It gives for a more respectableness.
Simon was strong.
You have to know exactly how it applies these days, right? Chaim Kanievsky sits coughing away these days, and he's still cannot get sat by Shabbos. He coughs many, many times. Extremely, extremely loud, deep coughs, and no one blinks from it anymore. So I'm saying you have to know exactly, but definitely through the Durs, you had the Giborim as the, what's it called? As holding the high impression. So therefore, like we were saying, that Psalacha, we mentioned Zariah that he's rich, because before that maybe he was poor, but now that Hashem is continuing to talk to him, that's really a raya that that he was an ani before, and now it's saying, but he got richer, like we were saying. So therefore, over here specifically, that's why you have the small aleph. 1 second. Right, the spitz anivos, the highest anivos is going to come from someone who has it all. If a guy, almost like Rabbi Elias was just saying, that the guy who's quiet during class and during recess, it doesn't really show anything. The guy who runs around by recess and manages to be quiet during class, that shows something. So the rich, someone being the richest and the best, and he's an anav, that shows he's a real anav. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been an ani, it wouldn't have necessarily brought him his anivos. So it's now that it's appropriate to bring out his anivos after the fact that we know that he's an usher and he had everything. Okay, that's as far as the small aleph. As far as Vayikra Moshe, right, there was a little bit of a confusing Rashi at the beginning of the parsha. What exactly the deep word, the afsakis, it goes, what's coming to Moshe? It's a strong call. Really, everyone could have heard it, but it stopped and did not go out. It was any time you see to Aaron, it was really to Moshe to say to Aaron. What comes out of that really is a big handelarai that did Moshe get Nevuah separately ever from dealing with Klal Yisrael? If he did, how was that? And there's a very interesting Yalkut Shemayni and Medr Sheikha Toiv on Tehillim. Right, today was Zayin Ander Beis, Pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. And it says as follows. Omar, believe you, B'shem Ruchia Bar Chanina, Yud Alf Mizmerim Shomo Moshe. Right, we know Moshe Rabbeinu said 11 of the Mizmerim to Tehillim from Kapitel Tzadi through and including Kapitel Kuf, Mizmo Saida. He said all of them. So he said, those 11, how come they're not in the Torah? How come not in the Torah? So he says, B'tachse Shon Nevuah Amar, whatever that means exactly, but they were more Nevuadik. And therefore, Eila Divri, Torah of Eila Divri Nevuah. And the Medrash Sheikha Toif adds on that it's not roi that you should mix in Divrei Nevuah amongst Divrei Torah. So it's a very interesting thing that it does seem that there was some level that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Nevuah separate from what was Torah to Klal Yisrael. And you could go sit trying to figure out, and there'd be big machleksim, if this time Moshe Rabbeinu was more than all the Nevi'im, did that apply to those Nevuahs or not? There are other mashmayos in that anything that Hashem was with Moshe was always for Klal Yisrael and always had these dinim of, and that is why it was more. It was more than everyone else because you're dealing with nevuah for Klal Yisrael as opposed to any other navi. Sometimes nevuah is in a way of that is just to let the navi know something more, maybe about himself, maybe about something else. But the fact that Moshe's nevuah was for all Klal Yisrael, that is what made it. That it had all these special halachas of being higher than everyone else. But again, we're pointing out from here, from these midrashim, that they're Hagufa was, and there are big havamis going that any single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu had in his life. But Lamaisa, there's these midrashim with Tehillim saying that Moshe Rabbeinu had these 11 kapitlach of nevuah that bedafka are not being put in Torah because it's not me'ain Nevuas Torah. It's the Lashon Eila Divrei Torah Veila Divrei Nevuah. Whatever that means exactly, but L'chaira would seem that there is some difference. There is some difference. You're right. The general would be that anything that Moshe Rabbeinu ever handled with the Eibishter was about Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, and had this special level that we always say that Moshe Rabbeinu was more than Nevi'im. But it,
most of it is not
that in a Hanami we have written down, but right, you see by Shaul that he runs up, he's running after David, and David runs to Shmuel, and Shaul gets there, and there are 3,000 people being Nisnabe, and all of a sudden Shaul ends up being Nisnabe himself. And like he gets stopped from running after David. There were Nevi'im, we only have the 40. You're right, what we have written down true is for Klal Yisrael, and that was the Heft of the 40 Nevi'im, but there were millions and millions of Nevi'im that the Nevuas might have, right? So what we have about Ask Google, it was Ask the Navi. That's how life existed. What should I, wait? Business consultant, it was Ask the Navi. So it was on a totally different level, and there were some things for the Navi himself, there were some things, You're right. Well, but Moshe Rabbeinu, there are very stark ahavamis to say that any ever interaction that he had with Nevuah in his life was Torah and for Klal Yisrael, never a thing for himself. There are some mashmaisim like that. We're just pointing out that you have these Beferish Midrashim saying that these 11 are not the Torah because they were different. They were Nevuah. Whatever that means exactly, but it does seem like there might have been some different level, and maybe it was only these 11 that were different. It's quite possible. Quite possible that this is all there was. I don't know what this means. It looks different. I don't know. It seems like it's tefillah Moshe, right? Whatever we're saying. Well, that's what it sounds. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
The whole thing just came down.
I mean, what's any nevuah that was being said?
The words. I'm trying to understand.
Right. So I guess tefillah Moshe. That's right. All the kapitlach they were saying there. Yeah, so it came. I guess he was holding by the level of nevuah, and then it was zog zachalein for mitaris nevuah that it came out. I guess.
We don't say by David HaMelech that
day.
It's nevuah. I'm saying.
I mean, it's all right. It's all the chavdal, right? Megillas Esther. It's all clear. Is it mitamei tzedayim or not? What level is it? But Tehillim. Tehillim is part of the Chavtal Sifrei Kodesh for sure, that in a way that it's Ruach HaKodesh and whatever, it's at that level. Right.
I'm not sure I understand, like he never said it, it's just words and then he wrote it down, is that what this, I never looked at it like that.
I hear. Lamaisa, this is the word, I hear.
Understanding of what it is.
Yeah. I hear. We've mentioned a couple times before. I guess because Vayikra hasn't played out like this in quite a few years. That's why I had never seen it. There's a Beferish Tanchuma that says something that we've mentioned somewhat a couple times. It says like this. It's Vayikra al Moshe. It says Gaiva Sodom Tashprilenu. The haughtiness of a person will end up running him down. Anyone who runs after Srar, anyone who runs after positions. The positions will run away from him. Like you see in Shaiftim, Avimelech, whatever episode story over there, Masha Enkin, people who run away from the Srara will run after them and they'll end up being in the position. It starts off first with Shaul. And Shaul was Nechbal Akalim, like was mentioned during the speech earlier, that he tried running away, and then Gufa, it came to him and he ended up with the Malucha. And then it goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mamish Paladik, what it says. It says, Hashem tells Moshe, first of all, they're fighting, right? They're fighting the 7 days, and finally Moshe says, okay, fine. So he goes, he says what Hashem said. Paray says, me Hashem. Moshe says, all right, I'm done. I did my shlichus. Holach v'yoshavloi. He went and sat. That doesn't mean he went and sat. Rabbi Yochum explains, he went and sat with Bnei Yisrael. He went to go learn Torah. He's done his shlichus. Hashem said, get up again. Boy daber paray, whatever, the nevuah v'era. Get up. Go. So he went. And once again, after he finished the shlichus, he thought, all right, he's done. He went and sat down. And each makkah, Hashem had to say, that's why there's, all right, now go to par. Now the whole Gansa thing is bringing out that Moshe Rabbeinu literally thought, he didn't think he was special than anyone else. All right, now I'm back to my regular row in the base madrash. Okay, good. Whatever that means. The wasik called it, but that's how it worked. They had this Wi-Fi connection, what you're saying. That's right. And this continued, and the Medrash even says, this Tanchuma says, he ended up taking that in Mitzrayim. They crossed the Yamsuf. He made the Mishkan, and even afterwards, he was still saying, Asisi Shlichusi. Holch v'yoshev loy. Omar Hashem, then finally Hashem says to him, all right, enough with the games. Chayecho sheyesh lucha avoy de gedoy l'asos to teach Bnei Yisrael, Toma, Tyra, Hadim, Makav, Karbonis, and that's finally Vayikra El Moshe. And finally, then Moshe is, I guess, set up like this. It sounds like that for the rest of the Torah. Then he was, all right, I'm on board. I won't run away anymore. But an amazing thing. What do you mean? To what?
Well, why when Moshe's finished, go back to learn. So now Moshe's saying you stay here.
Yeah.
I have to
But to turn to what?
Moshe wants to go back and learn.
Yeah, but these are the shlichas. So someone asked me this thing, and I said exactly. Because what? Yeah, Mordechai drops a few levels because he's being Isaac, yeah. And then the Megillah, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
So I answer him. I think you can answer. Mordechai is sitting dealing with all the taxes, the whole city, the whole everything. Right. How come? How come? Because he's dealing with all the business things that Chas v'Shalom, Avada, he was dealing with Klai Yisrael, lifting him up. But there was a lot of things that had to be set up now in Shushan or whatever. Moshe Rabbeinu is dealing with building Klai Yisrael. Yeshle, right? What's this lashon? Yeshle avoyde gedoyle l'cha. Go teach Bnei Yisrael. Toma, Tyra, Karbana. You're birthing a nation with this. That's not comparable at all to what Mordechai did. So it's not the bit. What? Fakir, no, he was asking. Oh, Uncle, that's what I'm answering him. That's not Bittul Torah in the least. It's the Shpitz. It's this, right? I think Rav Shlom Borma used to say that the Shpitz is to go spread your Torah that you have. So especially this, he's spreading the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu Zunzer Melamed. So that was the Shpitz. But what gets brought out of this by the Bali Musar is that. The Lashon of Chazal that anyone who doesn't have the Archeret Afil Nevel Taiva Hemena, even a smelly carcass of an animal is better than him, and this is why because someone who knows his place, so then when the Srara ends up coming to him, when the position ends up coming to him, you know he's doing it in the right shape or form. He was goofy trying to run away from this. Now that Hashem is forcing him to have this, okay, fine. You know what? You know it's going to be done in the right way. But anyone who's stepping on their own, so it's their own agenda stuck in there. Like you see many, many times with the example of Avi Melech himself. Someone just spoke last night recently, what everyone was saying about Yiftach HaGiladi. Also, this was that sort of an interesting way of how it comes up or whatever and plays out. And it didn't end up right with his daughter. It ends up a carpet. Very amaratsus thing that ends up going on happening and how he handled it, because he was trying to, I need my brothers to be masculine to me now. It wasn't really necessarily in the way of that being properly stuck with the position, even though Chas v'Shalom, Avadi was one of the shayftim. But even so, this is a very, very important point about what Derech Eretz is and how it plays out in you see the Ovis did this, many, many famous maisim of how this is a famous maisim with Rabbi Rucham and Rav Schwab that I think we've mentioned before, that Rav Shimon Schwab needed money to go back at the yeshiva. He used to lend money to the Bachram and Yeshiva and Mir to go home for Ben Azmanim, and they would pay him when they would come back. So Rav Schwab came back and he told him, he said, thank you. So Rav Yerucham started screaming at him, what's with Ribbon's Dvarim? That's awesome. Are you allowed to do that? What's this? Your German ways of saying thank you? So the next year, right, they only went home once a year then by Pesach. So the next year, he says to him, nothing. He puts it down and like runs away almost, so he's not going to get screamed at. So Rav Yerucham calls him back and says, whoa, what's going on? You don't give any thanks? Rebbe, now I'm totally confused. He said, Avadi, you can't say thank you, but what you're able to do of the halacha that's allowed of emotion, of wishing you could say thank you, or saying that I wish I could say thank you, but I can't. That is what is wanted. That it's wanted for a person. You have to be makir toif. That's derech eretz. The derech eretz means the mitzvah, the things that were sichus before the Torah. Now they actually became mitzvahs. Yeah, that's exactly good. I think that's what Rav Shlom Zalman says. Rav Shlom Zalman says, I wish I could say thank you, but the Torah doesn't permit it.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
I think Rav Shlom Zalman says.
When you pass by like a trade to store, I wish I could eat it, but I can't.
You have to know exactly what to do. That's the general. That's the general from Rashi. I did see recently in these Blet and Chulin that Tafiyami is learning. I did see recently something else that could be counted as that.
Pretty good, also. I'm saying.
What?
The price for not kosher meat.
So no, okay, you're saying that. You're saying that's yeah.
For a night, for everything. Right.
Okay.
With the fries and
everything. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Just a little bit of the parsha.
He's got the soda.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Just a little bit basic karbonas, maybe. The psukim start off with an oila. You could bring an oila. The psukim say whether from a cow, whether from a sheep, whether from a bird. The cow and the sheep are very similar. You shecht it. You accept the blood in a kli that's being mekadesh the dam. You walk that to the mizbeach. You spritz it on two opposite corners of the mizbeach, and then you burn the entire rest of it. By the bird, you're doing malika. Malika is from the back of the neck. People make a big mistake with this. Mul ha'roya es ha'oref. This is true. Yes, you put your tefillin on the back bump. That's 100% true. And the mul ha'roya es ha'oref means that when if you bend your hand back or whatever, then the nape of your neck, that is opposite that bump. That's what we're saying about that. People get very confused with what the mul ha'oref is when you're trying to work out Rashi, whatever. That's what it means. Rashi is telling you have the bump where you're supposed to put your tefillin. What's opposite that is the nape of your neck, and that's what you're doing. Malika, you take your thumb, you stick it straight through, you're making sure to couple simanim, and then in this oil of sa'if, you go ahead, smush it against the side of the mizbeach, have the dam come out, and then be machter the entire thing. That is oila, the basic of oila. Then the psukim talk about mincha, the five basic menachas. You have a mincha, all minchas start off the same, that you're bringing oil and flour. You pour a little oil, pour flour, shear of making challah basically. Pour in the flour, you pour a little more oil, you mix it, pour in the rest of the oil. Right now, you will be done with a regular mincha. You put on a shear of levaina, the frankincense, move it aside, take a kamitza with your three fingers, put it in like this, sideways, down into the pile, close your three fingers, pull it out, wipe it off. That is your kamitza. Put that on the fire, put the levaina on the fire, enjoy the rest however you want. That is the shrine. The other four types of menachas are all baked. One of them is in a machvas, in a shallow frying pan, so it's a little bit of a harder consistency, baked with oil. You have the marcheshes, it's more like a deep fry, more like a donut, so it'll be a softer consistency. And then you crumble that, and it'll be like matzah meal. Take the kmitza from that, put down the zbeach. The other two types are the two types of mafei taner, chalas and rikikin. Everything is matzah over here. Everything is matzah. Until we're not discussing the Taita to next week's parasha, everything is matzah, not chametz. But they knew how to do a special thing that they were able to, it was called chalita bereischin, scalding the flour, which the Shulchan Aruch says we don't know how to do by Pesach anymore. But if you wouldn't know how to do that, then you'd be able to make many fluffy things and beautiful things for Pesach. We don't know how to do that anymore, but they knew how to do this in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore you were dealing with these fluffy consistencies. Almost think about the Sfar Desha Matzahs. You were not dealing with our matzahs. Otherwise, how would you get any of these things? Once again, you crush those up and put them on the Mizbeach. The parsha then was on to Shlomim. Shlomim could be also from any of the animals, being from goat, sheep, or a cow. The only difference between them, the same thing about shechting, walking, catching the blood, walking to the mizbeach, throwing the blood. Over here, you remove the murim, shtei aklayos, yetzer hasakavod, the kidneys, some fat, a little bit of the liver. You'll remove the murim and put them on the mizbeach. By the sheep, you'll remove the tail as well. An ox and goats do not have a tail. And then the kayin gets the chazan, the shaykh, the chest and the right thigh, and the bailim, the owners, get the rest of the meat. Then the parsha moves on to chatois. There are five basic chatois, two big ones. You're dealing with, if the kohen gadol does a chet by act, one of the 36 things that we bechayv krisis for doing on purpose, if he does it by accident, so he will bring the par kohen gadol, and what you do with that is you shecht it. And then you walk over almost like Yom Kippur. You spritz seven azayas, seven times on the pareches, four times, on the inner mizbeach azov. And then you take out the emurim, you're makter them. And then what you do with the rest of this is you go burn it outside. And similarly, a par helmed over shel tzibur, if Sanhedrin paskin something wrong, chas v'shalom, and Klal Yisrael does something based on that, if all of Klal Yisrael has to do it, most different parts, different shvatim, then they will bring this very similar thing. Then you have the Nasi has a special karma chatas. He brings a male ram.
If Chazal asks something, whatever it is, that's what it is. You don't go back on what Chazal says.
Generally, no, but then it turns out that they were wrong. They said that they thought that this was not chaylev, and it turns out that they made a mistake. That it turns out after they made a mistake that this was chaylev. Generally, you're right. What?
Because the chaylev.
Right.
So, the guys chayv misa, then this video proof,
Good.
It's against something. How it happens exactly, you have to know. But it comes to a point that the Mishnah says beferish and hiris, that if one knows that the Allah is not like them, and he does like them, he'll be chayv his own karban. He will know, or he might not get the ability to bring a carbon. In other words, he won't be included in Klai Sol's kapar afterwards, because you knew that. In other words, you deal.
Let's just say
How exactly? How exactly they forgot that achashkelis aser? But it's not talking. We're not talking about the GE ovens. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the basic things that somehow it became shayach that Klal Yisrael forgot and messed up.
Let's make it. I mean. Let's say they said a couple of people said they like saw one of this and that, and they picked the wrong day. And they're off. They made a mistake.
So that becomes a day.
Good. Mask him. The Chadoshim that gave over to Kaiser.
The Rambam came and they lied. The whole thing was a racket, and they organized it, and the whole thing was a fake.
Yeah.
So when does the guy keep? So I'm saying, I always understood the minute things that make that, the minute they make the, that's what it becomes. It doesn't make a difference. They can't be wrong. Even if they're wrong, that becomes the fact.
They're right.
Right. That's the way I always understood it.
Right. Right. So in all those general things, Chadashim, Yomim, Shanim, 100%.
According to Beis Din, did he do right or did he do wrong?
Somehow they thought that one of the 36 things that someone would get cards for, they thought was mutter. We're not talking about the general of Beis Din, how they're working. Yes, general of Bada, they killed someone. For some reason, they forgot that this area of they lost to this area.
The guy did it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so Bezdin's bringing that carbon. The guy's got free.
Bezdin,
it's called Parham Dover Shatzibur, but it's really the people who messed up Klal Yisrael have to bring that carbon. If someone, though, knew, someone was a chacham and knew that the psak was not like them, Be'etzim. He had the Messiah, whatever, and for some reason it was they didn't think that they were supposed to listen to him now. And they paskin not like him. And he goes and does, well, Bezdin paskin already did. No, he'd be incorrect.
He's supposed to not eat.
They say it's mutter, don't eat it. Abstain. It wouldn't be considered Meir Rachel Shalom. The Gemara does go into Iowa.
I'm saying, what if it's,
it's one of the 36, that's the getter. You're right. You're right, 100%. But and for the people who don't know what
he's
then
do?
They,
what? What does he do? This, he knows Beit Din's wrong.
So that's why he can't follow. He knows that this is the Messiah, whatever he had. He had Gilio, I don't know. A real thing.
I always thought there's nothing. Pascal, everything becomes the minute Beit Din makes that decision. That's what
me too.
I understood.
For us,
like,
who
doesn't make it
for
us, say it's daylight right now, it becomes
daylight. For us who wouldn't be sure, you're 100% right that oh really, I can't really remember. I thought we didn't really used to eat that part. All right, Beis Din say avada, then 100% that's what they're supposed to run after. That is what we should be doing.
That's what I'm saying. What's the
halal? We would go eat it. Of course, Beis Din's telling you it's mutter.
Shabbos is not Shabbos, it's Tuesday. So basically, and you know it's not, I'm
you're not, then you're not allowed to what's called. Then there's Begeder Navi Sheker. You're not allowed to listen to that. Right? Shabbos is not nitin to Beis Din. Yom Tovim. And Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos is every seven days, no matter what.
Trying to find the right example to work on, but I'm just saying, I always that was it. That became Kutchikotish, no matter what it was.
I guess the fact that Hurrius is 13 blood is doesn't mean it's easy, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a hard concept. But the basic concept is that Beis Din is messing up on a fairish of psak of what should be. For some reason, they forgot somehow, whatever. And Klal Yisrael was allowed to do like that. Beis Din is the one who has to bring their carbon. The Nasi, like we said, he brings a Sa'ir. He's the only individual who is bringing, similar to the Yechidim, but he's bringing a Seir. He's bringing a goat. If an individual does one of the 36 krisis that should have been done, that if they were done b'mezid, then they would have gotten karis and do the b'shegig, then he brings either a female sheep or a female goat. And you do it, you shecht it. And you spritz the dam on all four corners of the Mizbeach, your makta de murim, the kainim will get to eat the meat. And then you have carbon oviyard. Very simply, carbon oviyard is these five things. If you swear falsely that you don't know testimony for someone, or if you walk into the Samigdash when you're tame, or you eat kachin when you're tame, or you swear that you're going to eat bread or not eat bread, and it turns out that that's falsely, or you swear that you knew that you did not have someone's. I'm sorry. It's fine. Yeah, this is the carbon of Yared. So if you have enough money, then you bring a regular chatas. If you don't have enough money, then you bring two birds, a chatas and an ayla. if you really don't have money, then there's the only carbon that really works like this, that it goes down to the birds, and then it even goes down to you bring a simple mincha, you don't even get shemen, because lamaisa you're a chayte, so we don't want to make your carbon nice. So Mimela, that is what that would be his carbon. And then the parsha ends off with Asham. Rabban says that Asham is a lashon of destruction. He tries to explain why the other Ashamas have this, but he definitely says that the Asham Tali, someone who's not sure if he did one of the previous sins, someone's not sure if he had done it, who brings Asham Tali. It's more expensive, it's a bigger animal, it's worth 2 slayim, it could be easily worth many, many times that of regular chatos. And he has to bring a male, a ram. Why is that? Why is it like that? So he says, because it's much, much worse, the guy who is not sure if he did something than the guy who is sure, he finally sure that he did something. The guy who knows he did something good, he does a chet. He knows he has to apologize to Hashem. Very nice. The guy who's not sure, well, I don't really know if I did something wrong. And he's trying to like find a way out almost. So therefore, he brings an expensive Asham Tali. That's why he's got to make that explain. Explains the Ramban. Well,
non-Jewish
guilt. Yeah, I guess. Right. Yeah. Okay. That's the basic of the Kabbanis. Maybe to move a little bit to Purim. All right. Next week already. I got the first one thing about Parshas Zachar. The Magen Avraham says very interesting that every day, right? You have the Zvav Schiris every day. Shabbos, Mitzrayim, Amalek, Miriam, the Eagle, Har Sinai. Why Dafka Amalek was it given a Shabbos of Kriya? Why Dafka Parshas Amalek? So the Magen Avraham answers that because the rest of them really are all a Schira that you're having constantly. You have Shabbos. You have the remembrance of Shabbos every Shabbos. Mitzrayim is a remembrance to Shabbos. Har Sinai, there's Shavuos. Miriam and the Eagle is really Gnus for Klal Yisrael. So that's why we're not going to have a fair share remembrance for it, even though you're supposed to remember it every single day. Mashe'en, Kein Amalek, so they're Pasach to make that once a year we're going to have that Chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah remembrance. That is the Magen Avraham. Okay, fine. Perhaps a little bit about Purim. The Gemara says that Esther made the Suda for Haman. She invited Haman to the Suda. Why? Because she was scared that Bnei Yisrael was saying, "Och islanu b'beis hamelch." We have a sister. We have a sister by the king, and therefore she invited Haman so that everyone will think, "Hey, whether she lost her mind, whether or not, we don't know what's going on here, but it looks like she's working with Haman, and this is a very scary matzav now." And then they won't rely on her, and therefore they will daven, which is what she wanted out of them. So that's why she bedafka invited Haman to the Suda. The Suda being like the Rajba explains by Tfila, that Tfila helps best with someone who's margish, like they're in that matzav, that they're lost without it. So too, like the Suda of Kalamon of Yosem Loisa Anun, that you should not pain any widow and orphan. Vishamati Khan, they'll cry out and I'll listen. And really, Avada, this is really by anyone, all the Mepharshim say, but it's specifically by them most, because it's easy for them to feel that they literally have no one. So their tefillah will be an earnest, honest tefillah, and that's why they will definitely be answered. By Tehillim Kuf Zayin, right, the Kapitel with you. Well, the Rajba is the one saying that the best feel is that if you feel it, then you will, then that'll be the most mekoyim. Right, exactly. By the famous Kapitel. Where you literally had nothing and then you would daven to Hashem for everything. Interesting.
Because otherwise, subconsciously,
right.
Right. When there's no way, it's like, okay.
Right. Right. Malbim says in some way, by the famous kapitel of Yoydi Lashem Chastim, right? We know Yana Kapitel speaks about the four people who are supposed to bring a carbon taida, i.e., next week's parasha, right? Whether it's someone who goes through a desert, someone who gets sick, someone who's in jail, and the fourth person being someone who crosses the ocean. What? Right, all the people have to bench Goyim also. So, by the Choyle and the person locked in jail, it says a Lashon of Yeshua. By the people who cross the ocean in the desert, it says a Lashon of Hatzalah. How come? What's the difference? The Malbim explains that a sick person and the person in jail, he really is thinking that, hopefully the doctor will heal me. Hopefully the king will pardon me. And therefore, his tefillah is not so meaningful in the fullest sense of specifically towards Hashem. And therefore, it's not Yeshua mochletzes that's going to come from Hashem. And therefore, the Lashon Yeshua, the Malbim b'Chachmasi knows that the Lashon Yeshua is a lower level of Savior. Masha'enkin, the Yardei Yam, the people are in the ocean, the people are in the Midbar. there is only Hashem to rely on. That's Hatzalah. Their tefillah is going to be so meaningful that their Hatzalah, that's the lashon over there, will be a Shpritz Hatzalah, will be a top saving moment. Right, I mean, I heard this year when Trump was in the middle of being elected, whatever, running, whatever, right, with his daughter, whatever. We shouldn't think that Ach Islanu beveis Hamelach. No, because Jewish Jared Kushner, whatever, very nice. Okay, Leif Malachim Yad Hashem, and Hashem will run however he's running the country falling apart over here. But it's our job to not necessarily think that. Oh, that's a savior for us. That's a savior for us. Okay, similarly, sort of to go with this, why'd she make a second Suda? Why didn't she ask right away on the first day? Why didn't she pull it out? So they say that she was waiting for a simon from Hashem, and she didn't really see that simon yet, but then Mardchai ends up on the horse in the middle, and Haman ends up with the trash, and said, so that was her simon, that now things are turning, tides are turning, and she could go ahead with it. Okay, that's one answer. Right, that's why Balayla Hu, the Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to raise your voice there, because that's the start of Aschal Sanes. The Leva Yo says, Bashin Maral, that... No, wait, one sec. I'm sorry, I thought this was about the Sudas, not about the Sudas. It was a later Inyan, that why is Purim Hashem the poor? So they answer that because Haman was really hoping that it would come out right away. It ended up being all those months later, right? Haman's sitting doing this right now, and this the Purim story doesn't happen until the following Adar. So therefore, why? Because it gave Klal Yisrael time to do tshuva, because if it would have been right away, then they wouldn't have had time to do tshuva. The Chazon Ish says that this was the problem with the Holocaust. That people, there wasn't enough time to prepare for tefillin davening, because as each country further and further away, no one was prepared, no one believed anything. Who knows what would have been said, the Chazon Ish, if there would have been time, it would have been known in a way that they could have davened and done tshuva properly, which again was really what did happen, we're saying, by the Purim story.
I think
what's going on. This is a famous thing, but Moshe David Price happened to say to me, what's it called, that Rabbi Warren Castle's father was speaking to him, whatever, and he was saying that as I think today, if such a thing would happen, you wouldn't believe it. That was literally the feeling. And he was literally in German, whatever. What?
Like Monday, Tuesday, boom?
Yeah. You read it all. They heard reports, but it meant nothing to them. People literally didn't believe it. Can't be such a civilization. Such a civilization would do such a thing. One more thing that we did not say about Parshas Shvatim, Geshmaka Naizvart, says Achashverosh, Miuzev Ezehu Asher Moloi Liba Lasaskin, right? Who is this, right? And Esther, the Haman Ara is there, right? So, first of all, what's the shaila? I mean, everyone's pretty clear about what's going on over here. Why do we need to speak this out? Two, the Medjer says that Esther really started pointing her hand towards Achashverosh, but Baruch Hashem pushed her hand away to Haman. What's going on? I mean, how silly is she being by doing such a thing, jeopardizing the entire Purim story right here at the end, about to let it go, and just like that, by pointing to the wrong guy. What's going on over here? So Rav Meir Shapir said as follows. In Parshas Mishpatim, it says, Asher Yemar Ki Hu Zeh, which Chazal learned from basically, Moedev Amitzas. It's what makes a shvuah. If you say, yes, I owe you, you're telling me I owe you 200, no. 100, I don't owe you. 100, I do owe you. That's when you could swear about that. The Gain says that it's also a shita in Bav Metzia, that ze is a lashon of something that's in front of you. Like we know, ze kelivan ve'yu. Kaiser was pointing kaviyachal to the Shechina. And who is the lashon of Nister? I don't remember exactly his raya. But Mel, you're saying Asher Yomar Ki Hu Ze, that there is something that's hidden that's not here. I'm not masking to that 100. This 100 I'm masking to. That's when you make a shvuah. So based on that, he said, Achashverosh said, Mi Hu Ze, the one who's begolly making problems. Okay, we all. Achashverosh says to Esther, we all know it's Haman. All right, that I got. But do you know Ve'eza who? Do you know who the who is? Do you know if there's a who that exists? Do you know if there's a hidden force behind there that exists or not? Esther thought her game's up. Of course she knew the whole time with what Chazal knew, that Achashverosh was worse than Haman, worse, more than could be, and hated the Yidden Adain Shir. But she never had to come open with it. But now Achashverosh is putting to her, right? There's always a miscommunication of what the other person is thinking. Esther thought that Ahasuerus, I have to answer. So she starts lifting her hand towards Ahasuerus. She'll maybe even be killed if she would lift it straight towards Haman. That, what are you lying? I know you know. So she started lifting it towards Ahasuerus. Baruch Hashem, Hashem was besavid. Ahasuerus is a shaita, like the Gemara says. And the Malach pushed her hand away towards Haman. And then it ends up Alakal and Ahasuerus. Phew, I'm safe from that one. She doesn't really get it. Okay, whether he was a fool or not, but Hashem let it go from that point. But it's more geshmak of art of how exactly you work with that medrash and what exactly, what was she thinking? What's the extra words of Muzevezu? A nice shot for Meir Shapiro. A guten Shabbos. A freilichem Purim. Kol tov.